Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I'd like to introduce a guest that I've got on the show right now, Gary Myers, New York Daily News columnist, former Syracuse alum, still a Syracuse alum. Gary, thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate you coming on.
Hey, no problem, Bruce. What's going on this morning?
Not much, man. All I know is that I did order two of your books. So, I got to tell you, I want to talk about that book because a lot of people, you know, everybody talks about the NFL and talks about what a good old boys network it is. And it really is. I mean, it always has been. Baseball might even be a bigger one, if you know what I'm saying. But what I like the most about what I've always seen with you on television when I watch you, and you are an NFL insider. I used to watch you every week on a show that I won't talk about right now, but it's a great show. And the thing I like the thing I like about what
you can mention it. It's okay.
Yeah. Anyway, it's the thing I like the most about you is you're so honest. And you come off that way, and all you do, you get more information, in my opinion, to the listener than anybody I've ever listened to. I mean, you don't take, you know, you get it all in there, and I really appreciate it. Hey, listen, let's talk about your book first. Tell us a little bit about your book and about what it entails, and maybe, you know, just a little something from the book as a teaser.
Well, the book is called Coaching Confidential. It came out in November, and it's actually been received very well. It's selling really well. It's really just an inside look at the lives of NFL head coaches with a lot of behind-the-scenes stories about guys like Belichick and Parcells and Andy Reid, Tony Dungy, Sean Payton, you know, all really all the big names of this generation of coaches. And, you know, one of my favorite chapters in the book, I went up and spoke with Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, a few years ago, and interviewed him about his experiences with Parcells, Pete Carroll, and then Belichick as his head coaches, you know, three of the biggest name coaches, you know, we've had in the last 30 years. And really, he provided a lot of insight, and he's very forthcoming about his feelings about each of those guys. So that's really the general theme of the book, is to give the reader something that they probably haven't read anywhere else before, and to give them a little insight into what makes these guys tick.
You know, the thing that I feel a little bit torn between Robert Kraft, because I have a little bit of inside information that I'm not going to share with anybody because I really shouldn't know it. And I wouldn't even go there because I'm almost 60. I'm about, you know, you're much younger than me, Gary. And
I wouldn't say that, Bruce.
I know, but you're barely younger. Hey, listen, what I'm saying about Robert Kraft is I like certain things that he does as an owner. And there's certain things he does as an owner that I really don't respect because, you know, it's just that it shouldn't go on, some of that stuff. But you got to admit, I mean, you can't argue with the success they've had in New England, although a lot of people will tell you there are reasons for that success that might not be on the up and up. But I do like Kraft. I like what he's done. Let me ask you this, and I'm segueing into something else, but I know you have an opinion about this. Vladimir Putin comes out. Well, he doesn't come out. Robert Kraft comes out last week. Or this past week, early in the week, and he says, well, Vladimir Putin stole my Super Bowl ring from 2006. I mean, I've read the story. Who do you believe, Putin or Robert?
You know, I'm not getting involved in that one.
No, I hear you. Oh, you know what?
I don't know. Isn't
that the strangest thing you've ever read in your life?
It's a really bizarre story. And, you know, when it came out in the last week or so, like you mentioned, it's not the first time that Kraft has spoken about that, or that story has made its way into the newspaper. And he just was talking about it at a dinner in New York that he was being honored at recently, and it just came up in his talk. So it kind of reignited the story about what happened to that Super Bowl ring. You know, I heard what he said about Kraft before. I'm not exactly sure of some of the things that you're referring to, but I will say this. I like him very much. I've had a good relationship with him for 20 years since he's been an owner in the NFL. I think he's created the model franchise in the league.
Now, are there things that have happened in New England that, you know, are unfortunate? You know, certainly the Spygate situation. They've had some off-the-field problems with players, like the ongoing thing with Aaron Hernandez now.
Oh, God.
Which, you know, I'm not exactly sure how much Robert Kraft was involved in the drafting of Aaron Hernandez. He's given, you know, complete autonomy to Belichick.
Right.
In the personnel department. So I think he's a really, really smart businessman. But as far as exactly what happened with that ring, I can't say for sure.
No, I tell you what, though, it became a story. And I think the last thing I read about is Putin said, if he wants his damn ring back, he can have it. That's what I read. But at least that's what I think I saw last. Matt wants to stick something in here, Gary.
The funniest part of this is that I heard that he said he won't get the ring back. He'll pay for another one.
Oh, yeah, he wants him to make a... Well,
he'll make another one.
Here's the thing.
You can't have that damn ring back.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You know, it's an international story. It's becoming an international story. Hey, Gary, let's jump back on. Now, you talk about all of these head coaches. Sean Payton. Can we talk about him for a minute? Because I love Sean Payton,
sure.
Okay? Sean Payton, you either love him or you just, you know, you can respect him. But a lot of guys don't like Sean just because of his style. I love Sean Payton. I love what he did when he went to New Orleans. I love what he did after Katrina. I love the way that he and Breeze and that team came together. And I honestly think that his owner, this is my opinion, threw him under the bus last year because Sean basically lost $8 million, $7.5 million, agreed? Because he got, you know, he was suspended for a year. And I think his salary was $7.5 million. The owner got a $500,000 fine. I personally thought that was a bit excessive for Payton. I felt like the year was bad enough. I mean, I just thought that was too much. How do you feel about that? Because you're closer
to
the situation.
You know, Bruce, I don't know that his owner threw him under the bus. His owner wasn't the one who suspended him. The commissioner suspended him.
Yeah.
So, you know, he lost his salary for the year. Now, he's making $8 million now per year. He signed a new contract, I think it was in January.
Right.
I think he was making about $5.5 million. He would have made $5.5 million last year in the season that he was suspended. So, listen, when you're the head coach of an NFL team, you're responsible for everything that happens in the building.
Correct.
And whether he was directly involved with some of the shenanigans that was going on the defensive side of the ball or not, you know, it's still his responsibility. And, you know, the league claims they issued him a warning about it as far back as, you know, 2-3 years ago, and the stuff was still going on. So they came down pretty hard on Sean Payton, and they came down really hard on Greg Williams, who's defensive coordinator. And right. I think they did what they had to do. I mean, you can't have players, you know, being rewarded for, you know, it's a violent enough game. You know, players
That's
get
for
hurt.
Sure.
Players get hurt all the time under normal circumstances. And, you know, what the Saints were accused of doing was, you know, pinpointing guys and, you know, rewarding them financially for hurting them or knocking them out of the game. And, you know, if indeed that was going on, that's completely unacceptable. And the commissioner, you know, handed out penalties that he felt were appropriate. And listen, Sean Payton's a great coach. I don't think anybody would dispute that. I think after he won the Super Bowl a few years ago, he became a little full of himself and thought he was, you know, pretty much bulletproof. And when that happens, you know, then the next thing that happens is bad stuff happens. And you know, that's what happened to the Saints. They had a horrible season last year. And I'll be really interested to see how quickly, you know, Payton could put the pieces back together in New Orleans this year.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see Rob Ryan coaching the defense down there, too. You know, they say he's their kind of guy. Well, God, I hope it isn't like the other guy. But and Greg Williams, to his benefit, has always had great results. But you know, obviously they were a little tainted. Gary, let's talk about the Jets, okay? Because I love to read what you write about the Jets. I think we're on the same page here. I'm confused, okay? Treat me as a fan now. What's going on with Woody, and what's going on with the Jets, and how does Rex still have a job? That's just my. I'm just asking.
Well, I'll take the last one first.
Okay.
Rex still has a job because he has 2 years to go on his contract, and after having to pay off Mike Tannenbaum, Woody Johnson didn't want to pay, you know, $6 million to Rex not to coach.
That makes sense.
On top of that, he really is extremely fond of Rex, and I think Rex is a very good coach when he has the players. Now, one of the reasons he doesn't have good players right now is because he was very involved in the personnel decisions over the 4 years that he worked with Tannenbaum. Excuse me. And Rex is a very emotional coach, and too many of his decisions personnel wise were based on emotion, and you can never let that get in the way of making what ultimately would be the right decision. So I think the downfall of the Jets, you know, is attributable in part to Rex's input into the personnel decisions. As far as what's going on with the team, you know, John Idzik inherited a very bad salary cap situation. In my opinion, he made a mistake trading away his best player in Darrelle Revis, but he felt he had to do that in order to try to get the cap back into some kind of a working order. But, you know, the Jets are in a complete transition right now, and they don't like to use the word rebuilding, but they are rebuilding, and they're going to try to do it what I think it would be the right way, which is through the draft, through role players as free agents. But when you do that, it does take time.
Right.
And whether Jet fans are going to have the patience to see this rebuilding through, you know, will be, you know, really interesting to watch. Because as we know, they Jets have had a very difficult time selling all their PSLs. And that was, you know, during a period when they had a really good team. And now that I think it's almost comparable to a certain extent to what the Mets are going through. Where
you have to
break it down and start over again.
Can you hold on for a minute, Gary? We'll be back with another segment real quick. I want to finish up on the Jets. I want to talk a little bit about the rest of the NFL, and I want to talk a little bit about the Giants. Can you stay on?
Absolutely, Bruce.
All right, sounds great. We'll be back in a minute. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS.